Thank you, Father, that we get to be in your house and with your people. We just love worshiping you, God. Thank you for this team that came up and sang from their hearts. And I pray that each of us can be drawn closer and closer to you today as we look at your word. We're so grateful for Young Life here today, for Valentino and everything that's going on in his family's lives. I just thank you, Jesus, that we get to celebrate and honor them today. Your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So we have a special treat, Live Generational Love. I'm going to be going back into Deuteronomy. Don already jumped into Isaiah, so with a lot of Old Testament stuff happening today, it's kind of fun. Deuteronomy is the second law. Moses had given the law, the Israelites had found ways to wander around and disobey, and correction was brought. A lot of people died. And then they get ready to go into the promised land, and Moses gives the law a second time. And as he's doing that, he's explaining to them what to do with it. And this chapter today, chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, contains a section that is used daily by devout Jews even today, where they would do what's called the Shema. It's listening. Hear Israel. Hear, each one of us need to listen to God. And Moses's plea to the people of Israel before they go into that special place was that they were to listen closely to God and to not just listen, but be doers of his word. It was, you know, the same thing that later James, the little brother Jesus, tells us. And we've got all of the scripture continually saying, yeah, just knowing the word isn't enough. You can know the word perfectly and still be in the wrong place with your heart. And so Moses is realizing he doesn't get to go into the promised land with the people because he found a way to disobey and disappoint God. And so he knows he's not going in, but he wants them to go in strongly and ready. And so he's giving them this law a second time. There's a new generation of people, and he wants them to not just know it for themselves, but to live it in such a way that the children of the people that are going into the promised land at this time will also obtain the law and an understanding of who God is and what he's done for them, how he's freed them from bondage, and how he's brought them into a good place. And so he's imploring the Israelites to teach their children well, and to teach their children so their children can teach their children. He's looking at generational love of Jesus Christ, of God, and he's imploring them. He's trying to talk to them about this is how we continue the work of God, is by living it every day on a regular basis. And I'll talk more about that when we get into the verses, but it's a beautiful thing to know that as we look at the opportunity to have a dedication of a young child today. Valentino's hardly a baby anymore. He's a big boy, and he's growing up. And what is he, like 19 months already? It's remarkable to watch him grow, and he's been able to grow in such a way that he's got a sweet spirit. Anybody that's met him, even if it's just been for a short time, they recognize the sweetness of his spirit that comes from the parenting and the family structure that's been provided. And so today, as we look through these verses in Deuteronomy, and then there'll be a couple other short passages I'll grab, we just want to make sure that we understand that God is the one that brings the blessing, but he does it through families quite often. I'm so grateful for a mom and a dad that loved Jesus and taught me to love Jesus from a very young age. When I was 4 years old, I remember going into this awful yellow kitchen that it was bright walls. It's scary just thinking about it. But I sat down on a little teeny tiny wooden red chair, and my mom sat across from me, and we talked about my need for a savior when I was 4 years old. And I still to this day remember that time. and know that God changed my life. He had called me from even prior to that. He knew me before I was in my mother's womb. And so we look at how the parenting of my parents, and then as we try to raise and train others as the next generation comes along, it's important to know that we have a part in the work of God in others' lives. And so as we've been given opportunity, we speak into their lives. After the service, or after the sermon part of it, the service will continue. After the sermon portion, I'm going to have Valentino and his family come up forward, and we'll have some affirmations and things that I'm going to ask them to do, and then I'm going to ask the congregation to also agree to be a community where this young man can be raised properly in the ways of God. And so it's something that we can all think about, and it's not just Valentino that needs this raising. We all need to be iron sharpening iron. We work with one another. We lift each other up. As you approach others that are in Christ, that there's some mutual accountability. We work together on making each other better. And we need to be receptive when people come to us and say, you know, what you're doing isn't quite right. We need to hear from them and hear from God, test it against Scripture. And if there's changes in our lives that need to be made, we need to be willing to do that. We also need to be loving enough to be able to go to people that we know that are struggling with various different sins or vices and help them, come alongside them and encourage them and help guide them with humility, of course, because if we think we've got it all together and we go to somebody and we try to explain to them how they can fix their lives and be more like us, that's a little scary position to be in. Let's make sure that we're not going at them thinking we're better, but we're going as equals, hoping that we can work together on growing closer to God. And it starts in the home. It starts with family when possible. So turning to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and starting with verse 1, that's on page 287 in your Super Giant print pew Bibles. Page 287. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you. Moses isn't much different than Apostle Paul when it comes to sentence structures. Some of his sentences go on quite long. So I stopped this slide partway through a sentence. This is the commandment. That's in the singular. And then the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you. And he's looking at this. The real commandment, it always falls down to love. And Jesus, when he was asked, it's like, yeah, love God and love your neighbor. Anytime you want to sum up all of the commandments, you can do it in love. If we truly understand and live a life of love, all the other commandments will fall in place. And then we don't have to remember 600 and some commands when we just know love is going to cover a multitude of sins. And so we look at that. And as we continue on, so that you may do them. So I love this. This is the commandment, and the Lord's given you this. He's given it to me to teach to you. Why do I teach this to you? So that you can do it. Be doers. Don't just learn this. Don't memorize this and take it home and say, wow, look at me. I know all this scripture, but you be doers. So that you may do them in the land where you're going over to take possession of it. So that you, your son, and your grandson will fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. There's so many promises in Scripture. One of them is if we just pay attention to God and we do what he asks us to, we live longer. I know that if we pay attention to our parents and they say, don't play on the freeway, don't touch that hot stove. If we pay attention, you know, the commands, the rules and things, they're not given to us to give us harm. They're given to us so that we can have a prosperous and long life. And so Moses is imploring them to do that. Now, Israel, you shall listen and be careful to do them. So listen, that's the first part, but then do it. Don't just hear it, but do it, so that it may go well for you and that you may increase greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, one thing I notice about Scripture is a lot of times, if you try to take it too literally, it's like, okay, that's weird. I'm not sure I would want to be walking around on some ground where there's milk and honey come out of it all the time. It's like it's going to, that could be a problem. It could be sticky. It could be a mess. It could, but milk is something that we all need from the beginning, the nurturing of our mother's milk. And then the honey is just that extra special greatness and goodness. God wants to bless His entire nation. Well, and then Israel represented all the nations, because from the very beginning, when Abraham was given the covenant, it was for all nations to be blessed, and that includes all of us. And so when we look at this, it's like, okay, we're going to be in the place of God, in the place of promise, where all of our initial needs and all of the special blessings are going to be provided. And so this is not literal, but it's metaphoric. It's a way to give us an understanding that God wants to bless us. But part of how we can really receive His blessing the best is to listen to what the commands are and then do them. And here's where the Shema, the saying that most Israelites a couple times a day will go through this. Hear, Israel. Listen, Israel. The Lord is our God. The first thing that is important to say each day is, God, you're God and I'm not. Forgive me for trying to be God in my own life. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. He's all encompassing. There's unity in the Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. With all your mind, with all your purpose. There's pretty much, this is covering everything with the entire fullness of your being. Love God. Body, soul, and spirit. All of us. We need to turn our love to God continually. These words which I am commanding you today shall be in your heart. It's not a matter of just getting it up in our head. If we don't have it in our heart, the commandments are useless. All the commandments do is point to where we're going to fall short. But if we have it in our heart, God will provide a way for us to live those commandments. And here's the part, Kevin and Angela. You shall repeat them diligently to your son, to your sons, and speak of them when you sit in your house. You guys ever have a chance where you just get to sit around? Probably not much, because you're always busy. But when you sit in your house, you're repeating, you're training, you're teaching, you're molding Valentino into a young man of God. When you're sitting in your house, when you walk on the road, or when you're walking around out in the yard with the chickens and with the blueberries, and you know, when you walk, you demonstrate to him, this is God's creation. This is who He is. He provided us this land. It's not flowing with milk and honey. It's flowing with chickens and blueberries. And it's beautiful. And God has provided all of that. And as Valentino recognizes the blessings of God coming down on him through providing parents, providing a place, providing everything that he could possibly want or need. So when you're sitting in the house, when you're walking on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up, there's really not going to be a time where this shouldn't be lived out in our existence. You shall also tie them as a sign to your hand, and they shall be as frontlets on your forehead. You shall also write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. There are some traditions that came out of Israelites reading this passage and thinking, okay, so I need to put scripture commandments on my wrist. And so they get a wrist thing and they put a box, and inside that box are all the commands. And then they put it up on their forehead too. So it's a box up here and there's a box on your wrist. And then on the doorpost and the one that comes into your house, but then they they've kind of, many of them have taken it to every door in the house has got these little boxes full of commands, and you know, they walk through a door and they touch the commands to remind them that these are the commands of God. And that's one way to look at this, is to kind of literally think, okay, I've got to put it here and there and whatever, but think about what do the hands represent? Action, doing. So what Moses is really telling the families here, as they train their children in the way that they should go, they should do it through a demonstration of how they act and how they work. Your hands become tools of God's goodness and grace. And then your forehead, it's your thought. So if we can keep our actions and our thoughts focused on God, we've come a long ways. Of course, it's in your heart. If it's not in the heart, the actions, and we can fake it, and you know, I've heard people say fake it till you make it. That doesn't work with Christianity. Because eventually that hypocrisy just becomes a mask, and we deceive ourselves even. Scripture, a number of places, tells us, don't deceive yourself. Allow God to live through you. And we can only do that if we hide His word in our heart, and we allow those words to become part of who we are, and then our hands and our head will produce works of righteousness, fruit that endures, fruit that produces life. And then on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, it's like it should be everywhere you go. If your house is a place of peace, and good things are happening, and in your, when you walk and when you sit and when you lie down and when you're just anywhere you are, you're producing a life that is demonstrating God's love. And so we keep on thinking, okay, when Moses has asked families to look at this, think about the law. Now, there's a whole lot of chapters in Deuteronomy that come after chapter 6, too, and you can read all of it, and they're all good. But he's basically saying, unless you can get this part right, none of the rest of it's going to matter. This is the important thing, is to do that. And I'm going to jump to Philippians chapter 2. If you want to find that in the super giant print, big pew Bibles, it's page 1879. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church in Philippi. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I know we can't be saved by works, but Paul is exhorting the church in Philippi, work out your own salvation. There's an effort that we put into this. It's not just something that God does to us and we're just little robots. God works through us. And that continues here. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to desire and to work for His good pleasure. And so as you're walking and talking and lying and standing with Valentino, you work out your salvation with him. You cause him to be a person that understands that there's a job to be done. He'll work out his salvation too as God works through him. In Proverbs, and I'm not going to have you turn there, two different Proverbs that I've put up on the screen. Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he grows older. He will not abandon it. So there's some good promises, and this was you know, the wisdom of Solomon, and his kids didn't turn out that well, some of them. He knew the words. He didn't always live it in front of them. And then another one, correct your son, and he will give you comfort. That's kind of not what the kids usually ask for. They don't say, oh, please, Mom and Dad, correct me. Correct your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. I think that's a beautiful, important thing to know, that as we train our children, as we give them the tools that they need to do the right thing, then when they start doing it on their own and living it on their own, it does delight our souls. It brings us joy to see them doing what they were designed and created to do. Now, Angela, Kevin, Valentino, I'd like you to bring your family up. So, Taylor, Ray, you guys want to come on up too? And I think there's room up here. We can just kind of spread out and make it work. Yeah. God is so good. As we look at the little dude is deciding this is a good time for his nap, that's perfect. You want to keep holding him or you want me to take him? Well, I don't want to wake him up. I do love holding this little guy. All right. I think I can do both. So I've got some questions here. There's going to be a few for Kevin and Angela, and then also for the congregation. Of course, family members are included in this as well. Parents' intentions. Now, when I first looked at this, some of the models for baby dedication talk about parental vows, and they make it almost like, you know, I do solemnly swear kind of thing. And Kathy and I worshiped with Quakers for a while, and taking vows is something that's pretty serious, but you can promise to do your best rather than saying, I'm absolutely going to do this. Because when we usually, most of the time, if we make a vow and it's going to be for eternity, for death do we part, and oftentimes we mess up and we're not perfect in those vows. But certainly look in your hearts and determine how can you help each other do this. And, you know, Taylor, you got to help Kevin because you know how, you know, brothers can be. They don't always listen to everybody else, but sometimes they'll listen to a sister. So, and Ray, of course. Yeah. Is it your intention to pursue the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength so that Valentino may see a genuine love for God modeled in your lives?
Yes. Of course, yes.
Do you intend to treasure God's word in your own hearts first, striving to let his truth shape your character, choices, and actions?
Yes.
Yes.
Because I know my dad sometimes would get to that point where do as I say, not as I do. Mm-hmm. and I think we've all been there. It's like, yeah, I know what you should do. Don't imitate me because I messed up. But anyway. Will you determine to diligently teach God's truth to Valentino, aiming to make your home an environment where faith is naturally integrated into daily life?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I know that sometimes that's a harder thing. It's like we can know the right thing, but how does that fit with our regular normal life? When Kathy taught at one of the schools she taught at, they had biblical integration. Biblical worldview integration for every lesson. And so as they did a math lesson or an English lesson or whatever it was, how does that match God's word? How does it make it relevant to our life in Christ? And that's a tough thing sometimes to look at and do. Is it your intent to weave God's word into the natural rhythm of your days, sharing his truth when you sit at home, when you walk along the way, when you lie down, and when you rise?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, now, all of y'all, I need you to stand. Congregation's intentions, and this would include the broader body of Christ in all manners. So sometimes, as Christians, we wander around from place to place. We don't always stay in the same location. We end up somewhere else. And do we try to encourage people everywhere we go? That's kind of an important thing, not to just think it's only with those people that know about our life history. But so all of y'all, is it your intention as the church family to walk alongside Kevin and Angela, offering them community, encouragement, and grace as they raise Valentino?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you intend to foster a faithful, Christ-centered environment where Valentino can experience the gospel through the shared life of the church community?
Yes.
Will you choose to make an effort to pray for this family, asking God to provide Kevin and Angela with wisdom and strength for the journey ahead?
Yes.
You know, it's not something that they can do alone. They really do need encouragement. They need God to reach deeply into their lives and give them that opportunity to have strength. Because there are times when this little cherub here acts a little teeny bit differently. I've never seen it, but you know, every time he tries to, Kevin takes him outside and nurtures him. So let's just have a prayer of blessing as we continue on. Do you want to take him back so that his head doesn't fall off? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious gift of Valentino, and we praise you for the joy and hope this young family brings to our church community. Today we ask for your abundant blessing to rest upon Kevin, Angela, and Valentino. May your hand of protection be over their lives, and may they grow in wisdom, stature, and favor with both you and everyone they meet. We pray that from a young age, Valentino's heart would be responsive to your love as Kevin and Angela model their love for you with their entire being. Lord, grant them patience, deep wisdom, and grace as they set their minds to raise Valentino in your ways. As they write your words on their own hearts, give them the strength to demonstrate genuine faith. Help them to weave your truth seamlessly into the rhythm of their home life. When they sit together, when they walk along the way, when they lie down, and when they rise, may their home be a sanctuary of peace, kindness, and spiritual growth. Finally, bless this congregation. Help the people of Skycomish Community Church to be faithful, supportive, be a faithful, supportive community. Give individuals within the community words aptly spoken that bring encouragement as they walk alongside Valentino, Kevin, and Angela. We ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Would it wake him up if we did a big round of applause? Thank you, Jesus. That's a big step to, and you guys go ahead and be seated. It's a big step to make a determination to raise a child in the way that they should go. And I'm hopeful that the community can come alongside them in many, many different ways and help them to do that in a seamless, positive, direction towards the God that we serve. And I'm grateful that you're all available to love one another, nurture one another, nurture this young family. Pray for more young families to come in too. This valley, this community needs more young individuals. I'm glad that Kathy and I are no longer the youth group here. That was the case for a few years when we first came. And I've watched God build his church, and he's the one that brings the addition, the multiplication, the increase into his body, into the body of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Now for closing, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. Amen.
You as well.